And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the Brandywine Valley SPCA, we have its Director of Marketing, Linda Torelli. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, Laura. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm a cat person. You know that.
I do. Yeah. Meow. Good for you.
This is one of those where you self-identify. And yeah, I got me a passel of cats. I don't know what you call a bunch of cats, but a mess is what I always say. So this is near and dear to my heart. And you're in today. We're going to talk about a really big event that is coming up, a big mega adoption event. But first, let's get started with the Brandywine Valley SPCA. Who are you?
So the Brandywine Valley SPCA is actually the largest no-kill open admission shelter in the region. So what that means is we take in 14,000 animals a year. That's a pretty large intake. We're taking in all the lost and stray dogs across the state of Delaware. We're taking lost and stray animals in Chester County and Delaware County. So that's our primary purpose, is to help homeless animals, but we also help families with low-cost veterinary services and families who need some support in times of need.
And let's get back into, is it just dogs and cats?
We do just focus on dogs and cats. So occasionally we'll have someone who needs help with a rabbit or small animals, and we have partners we work with. We choose to specialize on dogs and cats.
Yeah. Well, you are part of the SPCA. So do you want to talk about the overall the mission and how you play into that with other organizations and other shelters in the area?
Yeah, that's a really great question. A lot of people think if the name SPCA is in the title of an organization that we're all affiliated, or if it says Humane Society. We are all independent organizations. We're not affiliated with anyone nationally or locally. So we all depend on our local communities. That's something important for people who identify with their local organizations and support. But we do also work very closely with other organizations. For instance, for the mega adoption event, we have 14 other shelters and rescues who are going to join us to help animals get adopted.
And what kind of animals will we see that day?
Dogs and cats of all ages and sizes. So this is really a terrific event for someone who maybe has an idea of what they want, but they really want to see, okay, size-wise, age-wise, we're going to have seniors, kittens, puppies, small dogs, large dogs, you name it.
All right. Well, let's get back, though, before now we teased that part. So let's get back to why we should care about Brandywine Valley SPCA. It sounds like you work with people who have pets as well as people who are looking to adopt.
We would love to be out of business. We would love for all the families to be in a situation where they can keep the pets that they love, and we can help support them with that. So when folks hit a time of need, for instance, if someone loses a job, maybe hits a rough patch with health, we're going to be there with resources like a pet food pantry. Or if someone's having challenges with their landlord, we can help them navigate through that. If they're having trouble finding pet-friendly housing, our goal, if someone really loves their pet and wants to keep them, is to help them with that. And then, of course, we're there if a situation comes up. We are a judgment-free shelter. If a situation comes up and someone needs to surrender their pet, we're going to be there for them and help support them and learn everything we can about the pet to rehome them.
And it's one of the most heartbreaking things that a person can do. But sometimes you cannot keep your pet, and they are a member of the family.
It's very true, and it does happen. It's really heartbreaking for folks. And so we have a very special setup. We actually have a unique area of each of our shelters where people come in and talk about intake. So it's not during the commotion of all the other shelters going on. It's a very quiet environment to have a conversation, to learn about the pet, to give that person the time they need.
What about somebody who just doesn't understand their pet or is having just behavior problems?
That's a very good question, and that comes up pretty often. For instance, cats suddenly stopping to use their litter box. We get that question a lot. We do have a behavior line for our adopters. So we have a special email address where folks can email in, and then we'll have a call. We may meet with an adopter, for instance, if they're having some challenges with one of their dogs. A lot of times there's good reason for the behavior. For instance, a cat not using the litter box, it could be there's a medical reason. A lot of times it's a urinary tract infection. It could be a change in the home. So anyway, with those sorts of situations, we're going to help counsel people and do everything we can to help bridge that need.
And you mentioned that somebody who just might be in a financial bind, you know, at the time, there's help for them?
There is. We all hit those times. Sometimes you could have a rough patch in life, and we want to be there for people and their pets. Pet food is the primary resource that we have. We also have low-cost vet clinics, and we get grants to be able to help people who perhaps also can't afford an emergency need for veterinary services for their animals.
And you want to talk a little bit more about that? What kind of services do you offer, and who qualifies to receive them?
Our low-cost services are available to anyone. So our low-cost veterinary clinics work just like a private practice, where you can either schedule an appointment. In our case, we offer some walk-in hours. Folks can come and see the doctor. We build long-term relationships with folks, just like you would in any veterinary practice. And then we also have the support of grants to help for folks who are in a time of critical need and perhaps have a surgery need or otherwise for their animal.
And that's a major crisis for a lot of families. They might love their pet to death, but it's expensive.
It is, yeah. When you have something come up that could be a $1,000 bill and you didn't have that in your budget, and so we're lucky to have grant funding for that. And that's one of the things that makes us different as a veterinary practice. We are a nonprofit, so that helps us keep our prices down, and then we also get the support of generous individuals and foundations.
Yeah, you want to describe the place?
Sure. You have to come visit a shelter if you haven't been to one in a long time.
Well, that's what I was saying, because everybody always says, well, my shelter, and then you find out what you got and you go, dang, I'd live there.
Yeah, it is not your grandma's shelter anymore. So when you come to our locations, it's a very upbeat, warm place to come and visit animals. Most of our cats are in free roaming rooms. They're not in cages. So you can come and play with them and interact with them. We actually have folks who will bring their kids sometimes to just come socialize the cats, and we love that. For dogs, for instance, we have a program. This is a bit unique to our organization. It's called Every Dog Every Day, Going Out to Play Groups. So in the morning, while kennels are being cleaned, instead of putting them in another kennel, the dogs go out to play groups. So they could be in a gang of 3, 12 other dogs out frolicking in our play yards.
Oh, that's great. Now, you said that people bring their kids there. Is that part of volunteering, or do you welcome families to come by, or do you welcome individuals to come in?
We welcome folks to come by. In places where we have the free roaming cat rooms, people could just come in and interact with the cats. As far as interacting with the dogs, we do have volunteer training. It is very easy to volunteer. We just have a sign-up online where you pick an orientation date. That orientation lasts about an hour, and that's really focused on safety procedures, processes in the shelter, where do you get your leashes, where do you find the poop bags, all that good stuff. And then folks can volunteer from there. And we do have kids as young as 8 with a parent able to volunteer.
Yeah, you've got 14,000, you say, 14,000 animals coming through. You can't hold them all. Do you do fostering?
We do have fostering, and this time of year, that is a really important role, especially for cats. This is the time of year when more kittens are being born. One thing we are seeing is a little bit of a decline in that, which is great. Spay-neuter is having an impact. TNR, which is trap-neuter return for cats in the community, that's all helping. But we still have very much of a need for fosters for kittens, and then also for dogs. One of the things that's nice about our shelter is we encourage overnights. We like it when a family can just get a dog out of the shelter for overnight. We learn a lot about them. It brings their stress down. So folks who are interested can go to bvspca.org/foster and can become a foster family with us.
And let's go back before we get into that some more, because I want to talk about prepping for getting a pet. Cats. Cats are a problem in a lot of neighborhoods, and a lot of people, of course, do not like to have cats around them. And describe and talk a little bit about the Trap, Neuter, and Return program.
Yeah, Trap, Neuter, Return is very important. Each community is going to have a different shelter supporting them in that area, but all of the shelters in the region are very committed to TNR. What's important, if you see a cat in your community and maybe you're someone who doesn't like the cat in the community, you think it's deterring birds or for some other reason don't want the cats, the fact of the matter is that there's a food source there and there will be other cats. So if you're not returning that cat back to that place, you're probably going to have another cat that's going to show up. So what you want to do is look at humane ways to help take care of those cats. Housing, colony management. And those sorts of things give a good environment for those cats. There's also data that shows that the cats actually don't deter the wildlife. It's other environmental factors that are impacting, for instance, wild birds.
Mm-hmm. And what is the Trap, Neuter, Return? What does it actually consist of for anyone who doesn't know what that is?
Yeah, so Trap, Neuter, Return is really about putting the cat back in its home, altered so that it's not going to reproduce. That's the most important thing. Also vaccinated so it's protected and also protecting other animals. And it's a humane trap. Some folks might know have a heart trap. You might use it for wildlife, for instance, to relocate. It's a very simple trap. You put some really tasty food in one end. The cat comes in, and folks who are trapping will check that trap once or twice a day and then bring the cat in to be altered. And we do have special low-cost programs to help alter those cats.
So if somebody gets a cat and brings it in for a TNR, you'll help with that too?
We definitely will.
But you work with a lot of groups that do it, and there are a lot of groups out there doing this.
Yeah, and so if folks in the community, if you're not sure, if you see some cats out in your neighborhood, just get in touch with your local shelter. They'll probably know a little bit about who's caring for cats in that community and what next steps you need to take. Some families do have indoor-outdoor cats, too. So we also will do what we call return to field, that if someone brings a cat in, it's more likely to actually get back to its home family if you return it to where it was found than if you take it into a shelter.
What about chipping? Because I've done TNR in my neighborhood, and unfortunately sometimes the cat will wake up and say, dang, I found a home again. And you realize, oh my goodness, you're not a feral cat born in the wild and raised that way. You're somebody's pet, and you got lost. And that's how I ended up being a cat lady. So what about chipping for pets?
Microchipping is absolutely essential. We recommend you have both a collar, which cats aren't always as cooperative about, but you have a collar and you have a microchip. So you want to have as much protection as possible should your animal get lost so that they can be identified. We just had over the winter a cat that had been gone for 3 years be reunited with its family.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
It is. It was really amazing. The folks had actually moved out of the area. They had lost hope. And then someone found the cat, brought it into our shelter. It turned out the cat had been found quite a bit of distance from its original home, been brought in, and then had gotten out. Chip came in. The folks had actually moved all the way down to Florida. It was beautiful to see them reunited.
Oh, that's great. Now, what about dogs? Dogs should be chipped as well. You don't see strays the way you used to.
That's very true, and we're hoping we get there with cats as well, though we don't see as many stray cats. We're making progress in all regards. There are at-large dogs, though. We are still seeing stray dogs. It really depends on the neighborhood and so on. But if you do see a dog at large in your neighborhood, give your local shelter a call if you can bring the pet in to help that dog be safe. We want to get it back with its family.
But again, how does one approach an animal when you find one out, a stray or possibly a feral cat?
Yeah, so it's going to differ a little bit depending on the animal. You really want to watch the body language. So tasty food is always a good first start. You'll be able to tell a family pet fairly quickly because they'll tend to come up to you. What you want to do is crouch down, look approachable. Don't stare the animal in the eyes. That's considered a challenge. Have some tasty treats and see if they're willing to approach you. And you may need to build up some confidence with that animal because they don't know you. So if you see an animal in your neighborhood, for instance, that you want to help out, you may want to leave some food out and start drawing them to you. And again, call your local animal control because they can assist as well.
When you say call your local animal control, there are differences. There are the private shelters, the nonprofits like you, and then there are the municipal shelters as well, or not necessarily shelters.
Well, all of the shelters in our area are actually private. They do have contracts then with a municipal organization. I mentioned at the beginning of our interview that we're an open admission no-kill shelter. So what open admission means is we take lost and stray animals. There are actually less and less shelters that are serving that role. That's the reason we have such a wide geographic area that we cover. We think it's really important to be there for all of the animals. For some shelters, it's easier to be a no-kill shelter when you make choices about the animals that you bring in. So you will likely have a resource in your area. If you're not sure, call your local police. But for us, it's important to be there for all the animals and be what we call an open admission. Others are called limited access shelters.
What does that mean?
That basically means that you can surrender a pet if there's space, but they're not offering services to the community to help lost and stray animals.
Okay, so there is a big difference when you pick up the phone.
Definitely is a big difference, but all of the shelters work together. And so if you call one that doesn't have a contract for lost and stray animals, they'll get you to the right resource.
So we don't have to, you're all friendly bunch and you play nice with each other.
We do. Yeah. In the animal world, we're all in it for the animals.
And of course, today we are talking to Linda Torelli. She is the director of marketing for the Brandywine Valley SPCA. And if you would like more information about them and their services, you can go to bvspca.org. BV, easy, Brandywine Valley, SPCA.org. Now, got a big event coming up, and for that, you're going to go to megaadopt.com. All one word, megaadopt.com. I'm Laura Lewis. You're listening to our Delaware Valley, and now let's get into this big boy that's coming up, the Mega Adopt event. When and where is it?
The Mega Adoption event is coming up on June 29th and 30th. It's at the Bob Carpenter Center on the University of Delaware. So that's their sports arena. We've got over 1,000 animals available for adoption.
And they're coming from where?
They're coming from all over the place. Most of them are coming from the local community. Again, we take in a lot of lost and stray animals. We also have a lot of local shelters that are participating. And then we have some of our partners that are a little further afield, some of our regional and national partners. In our shelters, we tend to see more large dogs, for instance. And so we have some partners from out of the area that are going to be bringing small dogs and puppies. Believe it or not, they are at risk of euthanasia in other communities.
Oh, will this be all puppies, kittens, dogs, and cats?
It's a dog and cat event of all ages. So we'll have puppies and kittens starting at 8 weeks of age because that's when they can be spayed or neutered. No animal ever leaves our care without being spayed and neutered. And then we'll have our animals up to senior. We had a dog adopted last year, for instance, at 13 years old.
Wow. Now, you said that all of the dogs and cats will already be spayed or neutered. What comes when you go and you get a dog or a cat, you get your new family member at this event, what do you receive? What is handed over to you? Do you leave with your baby on that day?
You do. We practice what's called open adoption. So our goal is to have a conversation between the adopter and the adoption counselor to find out what's going to fit best for that family. And we really want to make that good match, but we're going to have that pet go home with the family. So we do recommend bring all your family members to the event, including any dogs in the home. So we're going to have areas set up where we can do dog meets, get an initial impression of what everyone thinks of each other. Every one of those animals will be spayed and neutered, current on vaccinations, microchipped. You get a free follow-up exam at our clinic within 2 weeks. And then you'll get a package of information also to help you with integrating that pet into your home, getting started, things to look for. And also we have a 24/7 hotline for adopters if they have any questions.
Well, that's pretty good. That's about the best thing ever. But that's, you know, you get the dog home and my goodness, he eats the sofa the first night, or you find out that he's too big for you to walk. You should prep before you go, isn't it? It's like buying a new car. You want to know what you need and what you can handle before you say, that's the model I want.
That is a really important point. When you get to the Mega Adoption event, there really are over 1,000 animals there. So it can be overwhelming. You could be distracted by the cutest little puppy that's right next to you. Think about your family. Think about how often you're home. Think about your lifestyle. Are you looking for a jogging and hiking buddy? Are you looking for a lap animal, big, small? Do you have kids who visit your house? Think about the environment that way. And then come with your checklist, if you will. What size are you looking for? Age? That's going to be the best bet to then talk with our adoption counselors and find a good fit.
When you say getting your home ready, what should you do?
Depending on whether you have a dog or a cat, we do recommend you have all of your supplies ready, and think of it like bringing home a toddler. Get your house ready, for instance, with a dog. You're going to want to have a crate available. We do recommend crate training, and that's going to help you with the eating the sofa item there. Have things put away. Think of it like a toddler, things off of the tables, off of the counters. What you really want to do is set that animal up for success when they come in. For the cats, have their litter box ready. Also think about, for a cat, what is the room that they're going to live in when they first come? We really recommend for cats you keep them in one room with their litter box and their food so they can get acclimated to the new environment. And then as they get more comfortable, they move into the rest of the house.
You said something about, well, so every pet is going to be spayed and neutered, going to have a microchip, going to be vaccinated, and they get a return visit for a vet checkup, and you got a hotline. Are they already trained? Have they already been exposed to other animals, et cetera? I mean, how do you prep them for their showtime?
It's going to depend on the animal. So we do, for instance, with the dog playgroups I mentioned earlier, try to understand how dogs are with other dogs. When an animal is surrendered, we spend a lot of time learning all about the animal in the home. In some cases, because we do take lost and stray animals, we don't always know the history. And so we'll try to learn as much as we can. If we're not aware, we're going to be upfront with people and say, hey, we don't know if this dog's been exposed to a cat, but here's how you introduce a dog and a cat together in a safe way.
Oh, and how do you introduce a dog and a cat in a safe way? And how do you introduce them to the toddler, which is basically a giant cat?
Toddlers can be giant cats. Yeah. So one of the most important things is not to put them in the room together, free roam at one time. Even if you have a really easygoing cat and dog, you want to give them a chance to acclimate. So it's a lot like if you bring a cat into a home and keep them in a single room. You're going to want to keep them separated, let them smell each other. What you may do with your cat is if there's a bed that your cat likes to sleep in, put a towel in there, introduce that smell to your dog. It's really what we call a slow introduction. And you'll start to see them if you keep them in separate rooms, for instance, you'll see them starting to interact under the door, and you can tell how that reaction is going to be and when they're ready.
Prisoners slipping notes under.
Exactly. Sending little messages.
Sending little messages and all that stuff. And then what about, you mentioned picking out the right dog or cat temperament and all of that for the family. And what if you do get a dog that is, you bring home the dog that's supposed to be a greyhound and it turns out to be a couch potato? Or...
Dogs and cats both, their personalities can change once they're in a home, once they're in a safe environment, once they start feeling like it's their home environment. And if things aren't quite what you expect, give us a call, contact us through that behavior line if it's something you want to work on. If you decide an animal is not a fit for you once you get them home and you've given them some time, we do recommend give them 2 to 3 weeks to settle in and start to see who they are. Give us a call. We take all animals back. And again, we are a judgment-free shelter. From our point of view, if that animal's been out, that's a terrific thing if they've gotten some time in a home. And we want people to have a good match.
And obviously, you know the animals. You've had enough time with them. And you're willing to admit, hey, this is what we know about them. And you've seen them in action in the play groups and all of that. So it's up to the person to know, what do I want and what am I looking for in my new housemate?
That's very true. And one of the most important things to think about is how much time you have. How much time are you home? How much training do you want to take on? And how much exercise time do you want to give that dog in particular? It's easy to see a cute puppy and think, wow, that is adorable. I want a puppy. It's a lot of training. They're up at 3 a.m. You've got to take them outside regularly to housebreak them. It can be a lot of work. And they're a fabulous family member. You've got to have the time for them.
And what time does and it starts at what time during the day? And what are the hours? And will other things be going on at the event?
The event runs 10 to 6. On Saturday, we do have what's called a fast pass. So you can sign up online at megaadopt.com to purchase a pass to get in at 9 a.m. if you'd like. The entire event is focused on adopting cats and dogs. So we don't have other activities in the adoption areas. Mm-hmm. We do have outside. The University of Delaware is a wonderful host, and they're going to be having a beer garden, food court, and music for folks who are waiting to come in. We do have a process where we only let a certain number of families in at a time because we want each family to have that time for the counseling with the animals, and we also want a safe environment for the pets with a certain number of people in the building at a time.
So are you saying we pre-register?
It is not a pre-registration. If folks want to sign up for the Fast Pass, they can pre-register for that at 9 a.m. Otherwise, it's first come, first serve from 10 to 6, and folks will get a wristband with their time on it if we're not letting everyone in at that particular time.
Well, that's great. Now, who can adopt? Are there any requirements that we have to have?
Anyone can adopt. What we're going to do, though, is talk with someone to make sure there's a good fit between the pet and the family.
And what are the costs?
This is an incredible opportunity to adopt. It is only $35 to adopt any pet that's at that event.
A $35 fee, and they get microchipped, one vet visit, they get the spay-neuter, and they're vaccinated.
It's an amazing deal. It is an amazing opportunity to adopt. And the reason we do this is we're trying to reach families who might not consider coming into a shelter. We're trying to reach as many people as possible to save lives.
And so when they meet a puppy or they meet a cat, what's the opportunity to interact and play on that day?
We do have meet and greet areas that are set up for folks to get to know the animal and see what might be a fit for them. We have over 100 staff members that come to the event, and then we have another over 100 volunteers that come to help people pick out their pet and get to know them.
So there's an area like a tent or something for the cats.
We actually have a whole separate area in the arena for cats.
Good. That's great. And this is a rain or shine event, too.
It is a rain or shine event. So all of the adoptions are taking place in the sports arena, in the Bob Carpenter Center. And then outside, we'll have tents in the area that I mentioned that the University of Delaware is setting up for us.
And you mentioned that you'll have about 100 regular staff and volunteers. Do you want volunteers for the event itself as well? What are you looking for from us?
We absolutely do need volunteers. It takes a lot of people power to put on this event. And anyone can come and volunteer. So if you go to megaadopt.com, there is a link there where you can sign up to volunteer. We have shifts set up on certain days. You can specify what you'd like to do. We need people for event setup and teardown. We need people to help care for the animals, to walk the dogs during the day. Lots of opportunities to participate. And again, kids just need to be 8 or older to participate. So if you've got a full house and you really believe in adoption and rescue, volunteering is an amazing experience.
And 8 years and up can do it.
Yep.
And, you mentioned that's the same thing at your shelter. What are the needs of the Brandywine Valley SPCA? And I'm going to assume that what you need, other shelters do need. So, you know, if there's one down the street from you or you pass one to work, they're going to have common needs. What do you look for from us?
So there are a couple different ways folks can help. Obviously, volunteering and fostering are big ways to contribute your time. We are a private organization, and so we depend on the community to be able to deliver the services we do. Donations are very important. So consider your local animal shelter in your contributions. If you're not in a place, or in addition to financial donations, believe it or not, the old towels in your closet are like gold in a shelter. Empty your linen closet. Towels in particular are really valuable to us. They help line the bedding in the cat housing, in the dog housing. We use them to wrap the animals after surgery. So that's another need.
What about, do you take donations of pet food or supplies, toys, etc.?
We do, absolutely. So in the case of our shelter, we only feed one particular brand of food, but food donations help that pet food pantry. And that is so important to helping families in need keep the pet with them. So we do encourage food donations, unopened bags of food, treats. We particularly need wet cat and dog food. And in the case of the wet cat and dog food, we use them for we use that for our shelter animals, to help them if they're taking medication or maybe don't like the dry food we give them.
So basically, you need it all.
We do need it all. There are a lot of ways to support your local shelter.
And of course, you mentioned that though you are an SPCA, do you receive funds from them?
We do receive some funding from national organizations, but again, they're not affiliated with us, and those are grants that we apply for and are very competitive to secure. As an example, the Mega Adoption Event is supported in part by the Petco Foundation.
Okay. So the answer for that one really is no, you need local.
We
you
do.
Need, you write a lot of grants and you look for donations from the public.
We do. When you think about those 14,000 animals, that's 40 animals a day coming through our doors that need support. So we very much need the community's help to take care of them.
And again, tell us about the Mega Adopt event. Where, when, hours, a whole nine yards.
Mega Adoption Event is June 29th and 30th at the Bob Carpenter Center on the University of Delaware campus. That's in Newark, Delaware. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come on by, bring your whole family and your family dog to find a pet.
If I'm hearing this and I'm in New Jersey or if I'm in Pensy, I can still adopt?
We always adopt across state lines, and certainly at our Mega Adoption Event, we welcome everyone in the region to come out.
So anyone hearing this, that's the skinny on this, June 29th and 30th at the Bob Carpenter Center in Newark. It starts from 10 to, it's 10 to 6 each day. You can get a fast pass online to get in at the first place at 9 o'clock. And then otherwise, it's first come, first serve for a great event that you'll see 1,000 animals available for adoption. Your next puppy or kitten or dog or cat, go old. It will be waiting for you there June 29th and 30th at the Bob Carpenter Center. And for more information, go to megaadopt.com. That's megaadopt.com. And for more information about the Brandywine Valley SPCA, that's real easy. Go to bvspca.org. My guest today, Linda Torelli. She is the director of marketing there at Brandywine Valley SPCA. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Laura, and all the animals, thank you for what you do.
You're welcome any day. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.